Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we're going to get Finley's take here in just a few minutes. Yeah, we got Finley Warden filling in for Caden this week. Caden is enjoying some well-deserved time off. And, Finley Warden, you probably heard him here on the show before. Great young man out of Missoula, Montana. Solid young conservative. He's worked on some campaigns here in the state as well. We're going to get his take on the Canadian elections. If you guys didn't hear this, Canada, of course, had their elections. And bad news for Canada, but is that good news for the United States of America? Yeah, I was just thinking of this last night. It's like, you know, they don't even have any real media. You know, we've heard the complaints and the concerns about socialized medicine in Canada. And that's why a lot of Canadians come down here to, you know, Montana, come down here to the United States of America to get health care treatment, to get medical treatments. Because of the, you know, the downfalls of socialized medicine. Well, what about socialized media? That's essentially what they've got. They've got socialistic media in Canada. They do not, I mean, you think the media in America is bad? Imagine where almost the entirety of the media in Canada is government-run media, is socialistic, socialized media. But really, you know, I think the conservatives there also fell short because they fell into this trap of just running against America, running against President Trump. And I don't think they really properly messaged on how they could fight for their own interests in Canada in a much better way. But you remember, I thought it was pretty interesting. Donald J. Trump, he said something telling a while back where he said that he believes that if Canada continues down this far left path, I mean, basically you've got another pretty little prime minister like Justin Trudeau, not as pretty, of course, with this Carney guy, but this far left Carney guy got elected or is most likely to be the next prime minister now after the far left did well in the Canadian elections yesterday. And so Carney is basically expected to be prime minister now. And so, but Donald Trump basically said that he believes that that would actually be better for him and better for the United States of America because basically he believes that a far left government would be easier to roll over and to fix the fundamental imbalances in trade between the U.S. and Canada right now. And so it kind of makes sense when you think about it that if we had a friendlier or a less hostile government, in terms of, you know, trying to fix these imbalances, it might be a little bit more of a challenge to combat, you know, this imbalance between the two countries. But they got another far left activist in this Carney guy, just like Justin Trudeau. Yep, Donald Trump can just ram through the America First agenda much easier because Canada's weaker leadership. Canada just elected a weaker leader yesterday. But we're going to get Finley's take on that one. I hear he and I were BSing about that story here just before the break. So why don't we mic up Finley here right after this for the opening segment here of Tuesday's Montana Talks. And then
securing America.
U.S. NATO Ambassador Matthew Whitaker spoke about the State of the Alliance Sunday following NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte's visit to Washington this past week. Whitaker reiterating President Trump's stance concerning NATO funding while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
I think our European allies and Canada understand that they need to do a lot more.
Whitaker adding where he thinks additional funding should be spent.
That money needs to be dedicated to lethality, warfighting.
He said the reason is simple.
We have a dangerous world. You mentioned Iran, you know, China. Russia is obviously threatening our European allies especially.
And that our allies understand the most important thing.
The American people are an ally, that we stand for freedom and liberty all over this globe.
NATO's next summit will be held in the Netherlands in June. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a federal program which pays rent for some 60,000 families and individuals fleeing homelessness or domestic violence could end soon. The program is called Emergency Housing Vouchers. It's running out of money, and fast. Funding is expected to be exhausted by the end of the year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That would leave tens of thousands of people across the country scrambling to pay their rent. There's concern it could turn people who receive benefits from the program to the streets or back into abusive relationships. The future of the program rests with Congress. Lawmakers could decide to add money as it crafts federal spending for the new fiscal year, which begins in the fall. But it's a relatively expensive program at a time when Republicans who control Congress are dead set on cutting federal spending to afford tax cuts. Maxine Waters of California is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee. She is pushing for another $8 billion infusion. But the organization's lobbying Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to re-up the funding is not optimistic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
It's time.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let me see. I got a Fox News story here. A little bit of a scene setter for you here this morning. And then later this morning, not only do we have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house, but coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we should have a guest joining us from the Trump White House talking about President Trump's first 100 days. So that's going to be great coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour of this show. All right, let's see. Here we go. What happened with the Canadian elections? Yeah, basically, it looks like the far left activist Mark Carney will be the new Prime Minister of Canada.
Canadians seemed fed up by soaring housing prices, an almost 70-cent carbon tax on a gallon of gasoline, and 10 years of Liberal leader Justin Trudeau. Then it all began to unravel. Trudeau stepped aside, and Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre saw a 20-point lead in the polls disappear. Carney got rid of the carbon tax and quickly moved to the center. He's also been helped by opposition in Canada to U.S. tariffs. President Trump posted again that Canada would be better off as part of the U.S. The post drew a sharp rebuke from Canada's conservative leader, who wrote, "President Trump, stay out of our election."
All right, there you go. That was the Fox News radio coverage. Our guest producer this week, Finley Warden, in the house. Let's see. Finley, you got your mic on in there? He's next door in our production studio. Yeah, what'd you think of all this? Not hearing you yet. You got your mic on in there? All right,
can you hear me? Aaron?
Yeah, we got you. All right. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, hey, so, you had an interesting take on this here. What's your thoughts? Okay, I'm not hearing you for some reason.
Basically, if you look at the results of the election, here, Aaron, you can just go ahead. I think there's a delay in my audio.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, there must be some sort of a delay there. All right. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll get you a readout of what, or if you want, hey, Caden, shoot me a quick message with what your big picture takeaway was on that. But yeah, basically President Trump sees now with a weaker leader like Mark Carney in the prime minister's position, Donald Trump sees the ability to push the America First agenda even easier, even stronger. I mean, we see it. Basically, you know, the Canadians had been subsidizing their timber industry. And here in America, of course, we had Democrats shutting down our timber industry. Now we are virtually entirely dependent on Canada for our lumber and for these types of products. So that's one big issue, of course, here in Montana in particular. All right, well, let's jump into some other stuff here. President Trump's first 100 days. I mentioned we've got a guest joining us here later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. In fact, let's get right to this, or let's get right to that story here. President Trump's first 100 days.
The president gets his strongest marks in immigration, so it's no surprise that the administration is really leaning into this issue. They're highlighting their recent actions, like the signing of the Laken Riley Act, which is the first piece of legislation the president signed into law. His invocation of the Alien Enemies Act has allowed the president to deport people whom they say are suspected Trinidad and Aragua gang members. The use of that wartime authority continues to be litigated in the courts. And just yesterday, the president signed an executive order targeting sanctuary cities and bolstering local law enforcement. All of these measures, they say, has led to a 95% drop of illegal border crossings.
Yeah, practically been ground to a halt. We've got audio with Tom Homan. We'll share here in a second. But yeah, the top line, Finley's reaction here to the Canadian elections was this: how President Trump completely controlled the narrative of the entire Canadian elections. Yeah, that reminds me of what we were kind of talking about a little bit off air. You know, it's interesting when you think about it. Here is basically the Canadian election became all about Donald Trump and became all about running against not just Trump, but became the election about running against the United States of America. And it's like, wow, the Canadian elections couldn't even be about Canada. The Canadian election was all about debating the United States of America, because right now, Canada is benefiting much more from the relationship than the United States of America is benefiting from the relationship right now. I think that the conservatives in Canada, you know, it's sad. Frankly, I got to say, it's sad for our friends that are in Canada that now have to suffer under yet another, you know, far left prime minister. Yeah, he tried to pretend to be more moderate than Justin Trudeau, because clearly Canadians were sick of these far left policies. But, you know, they had a fake moderate that got propped up by the socialized media in Canada. And I just don't think the conservatives up there, if that's even what you want to call them, had a good response to it all. So, unfortunately, the people of Canada are going to have to continue to suffer under this far-left regime and under these far-left policies. Yeah, they won't have a virtue-signaling pretty boy like Justin Trudeau, but the left is going to continue to push their agenda with a fake, phony moderate. And we know how that works out, right, Montana? Because we, for several years, had to deal with a fake, phony moderate like John Tester, like Steve Bullock. I mean, the media tried to make him sound moderate as well when he was nothing of the sort. So we have seen how states, how nations can suffer not under all-out, outright far leftists who will straight up tell you who they are and what they are, like Justin Trudeau, but we've also seen how states and nations will suffer under these fake, phony moderates who pretend to be moderate, but yet push a very bad agenda for the people.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The Atlantic published its cover story on President Trump yesterday. It's online. And the most interesting thing about it is how this liberal magazine, and especially editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg, who was part of the team and the subject of a charm offensive from the president, got the story in the first place. Reporters Ashley Parker and Michael Shearer called Trump's cell phone. And the most interesting soundbite from the president is that all of those investigations helped him. And whereas in the first term people were trying to block him, now he says, "I run the country and I run the world." It was fair, and that was the test. Was it fair? That's how they got the interview. Possible president will disagree. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. As measles cases spread in the U.S., hundreds of them in multiple states, doctors are speaking out. Allison Croucher is a pediatrician and doctor of osteopathic medicine with Dooley Healthcare in Illinois. She recently told Fox News Digital she gets a lot of frequent questions from parents about the disease. For instance, should I be worried about the measles where I live or where I'm traveling to? How do I know if my child is fully vaccinated? Can my infant get the vaccine early? What if my baby's too young to get the combination MMR vaccine? My child is showing signs of a cold. Could this be early stage measles? Or even, we've been around other people who traveled recently. What symptoms should we watch for? There's no specific treatment for measles, so public health officials say getting vaccinated remains the best way to protect yourself. For more health news or for Dr. Croucher's responses to the questions you just heard, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2025 inductees are announced.
Oh, girls,
Cyndi Lauper is among the 7 new inductees from a list of 14 announced earlier this year. The others include Outkast, Bad Company, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Soundgarden, and The White Stripes. The full induction ceremony airs live November 8th from the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles on Disney Plus and arrives on Hulu the next day. Those who didn't make the cut this year include The Black Crowes, Billy Idol, and Phish, all first-time nominees, along with Mariah Carey and Oasis, who were both nominated in 2024 for the first time, and Joy Division, New Order, nominated once before in 2023. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, this week, ranchers and their elected representatives have won a major battle. That's because federal criminal charges have been dropped against Charles and Heather Maude of Caputa, South Dakota. With more on this breaking story, here's Heart Network's Rachel Gable.
Ben Patterson, assistant U.S. attorney for the Federal District Court in the Western Division of South Dakota, signed a motion to dismiss the indictment charges against Charles Maude and Heather Maude, dated April 28, 2025. The Maudes are South Dakota ranchers and were indicted separately nearly a year ago on charges of theft of federal property stemming from a fence line dispute on a fence built before either were born. South Dakota representatives visited the allotment in question last week with Tom and Randy Hamilton and Marianne and Jackie Maude, the couple's parents, and saw the fence line in question. South Dakota Speaker Pro Tem Carla Lims was one of the representatives in attendance.
It's a small parcel of ground that we're dealing with here, and it's just, you kind of ask the question, how did we get to this point with a criminal indictment over something that literally this land is maybe worth like $15,000. And why couldn't this have been settled over a cup of coffee and an agreement to work together going forward?
Many groups have pled with the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, and others in D.C. to dismiss the charges. The U.S. attorney who signed the summons, Allison J. Ramsdell, a Biden appointee, is expected to soon be replaced by Ron Parsons, who served under the first Trump administration. Representative Lim said dismissing the charges is the right thing to do.
This is three words. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. So let's get it right.
For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. And she says that the criminal indictment, according to court records, is dismissed without prejudice. By the way, the Maudes are currently in Washington, D.C., meeting with Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins. Stay with us for more Ag News right after this.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-hided Angus bulls on the market. But not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
Montana winners, call for comfort food. Sign up for the Beef Box giveaway from the Montana Beef Council, and you can win $50 worth of beef. Whether you're making beef stew, a hearty roast, or a big pot of chili, beef is the perfect way to warm up after a cold day. Add some flavor to your winter meals and stock up on beef for those cozy nights at home. Don't miss your chance. Head to the Montana Beef Council website and enter today.
Well, as President Trump's trade war continues, China's grain supply won't be affected by a loss of U.S. feed grain and oilseed imports, thanks to abundantly available substitutes on the global market and sufficient reserves at home. The unfortunate reality is U.S. grains like soybeans, corn, and sorghum can all be easily substituted, and the supplies on the international market are quite sufficient from countries out of South America. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Man, it was first off, big thanks to David Noble for covering down on the show on Monday. Always does a great job for us. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Because I have to get up at 0:30 here to prepare for this show and then do this show, it was kind of crazy. I went to the gym and did a 5:30 a.m. class, and then when I got out of that class, I tuned into the show just as Steve and Ballantyne was calling into Montana Talks here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, so that was fun. It was fun to be able to sit back and listen for a little while instead of just have to do a lot of the talking, but a lot of the listening as well. We got the phone lines open for you again here on this Tuesday as well. Let's see. The Democrats sit in. Did you guys see some of this? I don't know if this came up on the show yesterday or not, but congressional Democrats did like an old school hippie style sit-in on the front steps of the Capitol, and I was just embarrassed watching this for them. I mean, the Democrat Party is imploding. The Democrat Party is collapsing, and eventually they'll push some fake, phony moderate to try to, pick themselves up out of the ashes. But for right now, they're just doubling down on crazy. Sean Hannity had a great segment last night featuring some of the sit-in audio.
On Sunday, Spartacus and several other Democratic lawmakers sat on the Capitol steps for 12 hours for a public therapy session. They had singing and everything. Take a look.
This is a time to choose. And we're either going to choose the side of the American people, or we're going to choose this cruel budget that Republicans are trying to jam down the throats of the American people.
We can't keep doing things like business as usual. We have to think of creative new things to do. And so Akeem and I thought, let's sit on the steps of the Capitol.
Think about what the framers did to try to make the president not a king, right? Not to have a unitary executive. And Trump is doing the exact opposite.
And what Grant said is, there are but two parties in America right now, patriots and traitors.
I will build this world from love.
I will build this world from love.
Not too bad.
Yada-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay. Cruel budget that robs from your children and grandchildren. You heard all that right. Amid all the singing and the whining, the highest-ranking Democratic member of the House said, quote, there are but two parties in America right now, patriots and traitors.
The singing and the chanting was the most hilarious part of that. You got to go back and watch the video. Spartacus, he mentioned, Senator Cory Booker, is just sitting on the back steps. What a bunch of goofballs. And, they had a couple brothers back there, and even they couldn't have any rhythm. I mean, you expect white guys like us to not have rhythm, but they're supposed to have the... It was just embarrassing all around. And they're chanting, they're weird chanting, and they call you... And the creepy cult-like chanting from the steps of the Capitol. The Democrats are in complete disarray, complete embarrassment on the steps of the Capitol back in Washington, D.C. And then who was this congressional Democrat? The guy who, now is already launching impeachment charges against President Donald Trump. I don't know if you saw this guy. If you haven't seen the guy, you gotta see it. Just for the hairdo alone. I mean, the hairdo is just epic. Apparently, it's not a wig. I thought it was a wig, but Jesse Waters says it's not a wig. It's his actual hair. Who is this guy? Well, thankfully, he shares his name, just in case you, like me, did not know.
This is Congressman Sri Thanagar. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump. Today, I introduced a resolution to impeach Donald J. Trump, outlining 7 articles of impeachment. I won't be silent, and I'm calling on all my colleagues, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, to stand up with me. Enough is enough.
If you thought the soundbite alone wasn't funny, go watch the actual video for the guy's hairdo, and you'll get an even bigger, you know, kick out of that clip there. All right. In other news, did you guys hear about truck drivers that can't speak English? In other news, so President Trump, one of the executive orders that he put out here recently is to ensure that these truck drivers who are driving these big rigs on American highways, you know, we've had a lot of problems even here in Montana with this, with with foreign truckers that not only don't speak much English apparently, but don't really know or follow the rules of the road. And it's led to a lot of danger on America's interstates and American roadways. But Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, Breitbart News, had this headline: Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, treating English as a backseat language jeopardizes roadside safety. Secretary Duffy saying, quote, federal law is clear. A driver who cannot sufficiently read or speak English, our native language, and understand road signs is unqualified to drive a motor vehicle in America. Now President Trump coming out with a new executive order on that very front here to try to improve highway safety all across America. All right, let's see. We got to talk about the Montana legislature. Governor Greg Gianforte, of course, signing the income tax relief into law with Montana Speaker of the House Brandon Lear right alongside him. They're calling this the largest income tax cut in Montana history. So that's the good news out of the legislature. But I still fully believe, even more so, that the governor has got to break out the veto pen on the massive spending that's coming out of Helena thus far as well. So an update on that front.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. I know David Noble did a great job covering this on Monday, and I know you callers, those of you listening across Montana calling into the show, did a great job covering down on this front as well. But the income tax relief has now been signed into law. That's the good news out of the state capitol in Helena. Governor Gianforte celebrates largest income tax cut in state history, securing more than $750 million in tax cuts for Montanans at every income level. So that's the good news out of the Capitol. And Helena, actually, let me give you just a couple of details on that front here. On the front steps of the Montana State Capitol, joined by House Speaker Brandon Lear and members of the 69th Legislature, Governor Gianforte signed into law House Bill 337, providing an income tax cut to Montanans at every level. In 2023, the governor was proud to deliver the largest tax cut in state history, providing income tax cuts for Montanans at every level then, as well as immediate and long-term property tax relief. Since taking office, the governor has now reduced the state's top individual income tax rate from 6.9% to 5.9% and reduced the number of income tax brackets from 7 to 2. House Bill 337 lowers the income tax rate, cutting it to 5.65% in 2026 and then 5.4% in 2027, but also increases the number of Montanans who are eligible for the lower tax bracket of 4.7%. So that's where the big relief will really be felt by most of you, is that not only do you get tax relief, but you also, many of you, most of you, will get pushed into that lower tax bracket now, whereas before almost everybody was in the upper tax bracket, but both of those brackets getting some relief as a result of this legislation. All right, let me talk about a couple of other key points. This is where you guys came in yesterday. This is where David Noble did a great job highlighting the massive spending that's going on in Helena. But first, let me get to some more good news for you here. Biggest sale of the year. Once a year event. It's going on right now. YHIC, your home improvement company. They have got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. And easy financing, 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Again, this is their biggest sale of the year. Don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. And again, that number is 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. Yeah, great opportunity to, if you got racked by energy bills over the winter because of, you know, older windows allowing that cold air to seep through. Same thing can happen with the heat in the summer, of course. But maybe now with the daylight and the sunshine that we're already seeing here at O-Dark 30, typically in the morning, you know, some newer windows, you can enjoy that Montana view even more so. Okay, so here's the big takeaway from the legislative session in my book. I wrote this article for our Montana Talks website yesterday. And, of course, you guys calling into the show did a great job covering this as well. When it comes to Montana's legislative session, I hope the governor is ready to break out the veto pen on some of the massive spending that is going on. I would add this. No matter how much property tax relief is delivered by the legislature and the governor, it is not going to be enough. We, the people, are going to have to deliver fundamental reform to our property tax system and pass an initiative that finally stops taxing people based off of the value of their home. Fundamentally, that's what needs to happen. Look, there were competing proposals, competing factions. You know, the governor and some Republicans and some Democrats basically solidified and united around House Bill 231, which will provide significant property tax relief for residential homeowners. But some other folks may not get the relief, or it may not be big enough relief, or they might see their taxes go up. But that is that's the only significant proposal, it seems, that provided that structural reform to lower residential property taxes for long-term structural reform, right? If there was another competing proposal that provided that long-term structural reform for residential property taxpayers that maybe didn't hit other, payers, whether it was commercial classes or et cetera, then where was that proposal, right? Now, there have been other types of proposals, great proposals, by the way, that would have provided basically like a rebate where we take these, and I think some of these are still going to get across the finish line as well, where basically we take the tourist dollars that come in, not always tourism dollars, because if you rent a hotel room, you got to pay these taxes as well. But you've got basically a bunch of money that comes into the state from lodging taxes, bed taxes, and things like that. And, you know, some great Montana lawmakers said, hey, why don't we take that money and give that back to the property taxpayers? And then that got whittled down. Well, why don't we take half of that money and give that money back to the property taxpayers? And if I understand it correctly, everybody would have basically gotten the same amount. Everybody would have gotten their, you know, $200 or their $400, regardless of how much you pay into the property tax system. Okay, that's great. That's kind of like a property tax rebate. But again, what about the long-term structural reform to property taxes in general, to residential property taxes in general. And it seemed like 231 was really the only bill that tackled that. Now, some of you lawmakers that are listening right now could fill us in if there was another structural reform. But my point is this. Is okay, residential property taxpayers will get the relief from 231, and then there's other great proposals to provide additional property tax relief, rebates, things like that. But the bottom line is that we still need to fundamentally reform our property tax system so that we don't get taxed based off of the value of our homes. And that's the system that we are all stuck with, that we've been stuck with, that has been causing these problems, not just in the last 4 to 5 years of the post-COVID-19 bum rush to Montana that drove up property values, but that's been a problem going back since the 1990s and earlier. So that's what fundamentally we, the people, have to deliver on. And the other thing I would say is this, is like, okay, no matter what the state legislature does, most Montanans live in cities and counties that, regardless of whatever property tax relief the state sends your way, once the legislative session is done, maybe as soon as this week, maybe as soon as tomorrow or Thursday, you still live in cities and counties that can just go tinker with your property taxes and take more of your money anyway. That's why we need the comprehensive long-term reform that the people need to deliver. And so I guess my point is this, is that it's easy for everybody to sit back and say, well, the legislature this, the legislature that, this group in the legislature this, that group in the legislature that, but we the people can deliver this type of property tax reform, and that's what the people need to deliver. So anyway, that's my take. I wrote a little bit about that on our Montana Talks website. By the way, this probably came up yesterday, but State Senator Ken Bogner, Senate President Matt Regeer, and Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery, all three of them co-authored a guest opinion column that's been airing in printing in newspapers all across the state. I saw this one in the Glendive Ranger Review. Here's the headline: Governor Gianforte must save taxpayers from the Democrat-hijacked state budget bill. The Montana legislature's sole constitutional duty is to pass a balanced budget. Montanans take pride in our state's tradition of fiscal responsibility, but that tradition is not at all reflected in the budget bill hijacked and advanced by Democrats this session. As we write this, Montana's proposed budget is way in the red, with the shortfall projected at around $1 billion, that's with a B, by 2029. Democrats and their allies inflated our budget with reckless spending, repeatedly breaking normal legislative procedure to do so. Then the same Democrat-led coalition rejected numerous amendments brought by conservative Republicans to rein in the spending and save taxpayer money. And then they add this: we sincerely hope that Governor Greg Gianforte uses his veto power to trim the fat off the budget and bring some fiscal sanity back to our state's finances. Democrats' frivolous spending should be first on the veto chopping block. Yeah, the governor has a couple of different veto powers here. Amendatory vetoes, line item vetoes, depending on the type of bill. And so, great opportunity for the gov to trim the fat.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The institution of the media, legacy media, is one of peddling lies, conspiracy theories, and a political agenda they've been trying to shove down the throat of the American people. Just like they're trying to do it today by creating a false narrative that Donald Trump is, hated by the American people after 100 days. A record low? No, it's not. Meanwhile, ignoring the Democrats that have the lowest approval ratings they've ever had in history. You know, ignoring the petulant side of the Democratic Party. Ignoring their, you know, the party of anger. The party that has now been taken over by the radicals. The parties whose leadership is afraid of the radicals. With their stupid sit-ins and sing-ins and chanting and F-bombs and bingo paddles.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Warning: the national debt is spiraling out of control. trade wars are causing record volatility, and tariffs could cause inflation to make a devastating comeback. Are you ready for what more 2025 could bring? Will you sit on the sidelines and wait? Or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Help secure your future today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD.
In the fast lane.
After having a weekend off, the NASCAR Cup Series returns on Sunday, and a legendary track takes center stage. Talladega Super Speedway hosts the Jack Links 500 as NASCAR kicks off a lengthy stretch. Chase Elliott joined Fox and Friends on Thursday with the season in full swing.
Long season. You know, for us, it's a marathon, right? February all the way to November. And as you get into these kind of spring, summer months, you're kind of getting into that stretch. You're seeing kind of where everybody's stacking up, and Talladega is a big race for us on the schedule.
For the next 28 weekends, a race will be held through the November 2nd championship race in Phoenix. Elliott will be looking for his third win at Talladega and the 20th Cup Series victory of his career. Kyle Larson is coming off a win at Bristol Motor Speedway, where he led 411 of 500 laps in the Food City 500. It was Larson's second victory of the season, and he enters Talladega ranked fourth in the Cup Series standings. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
Here we stand on day 84 of the 2025 legislative session, and the time until the legislature adjourns sine die can now be measured in hours rather than days. The standing committees, for the most part, have finished their work. The remaining conference committees are meeting here and there, and for the most part, the Capitol is beginning to empty out. Legislators have cleaned out their offices, desks, and apartments. Some have even loaded their cars, all in anticipation of the motion to adjourn sine die. For those who may not know, sine die is Latin for without a day. For the last 4 months, at the end of each floor session, the majority leaders in both the House and Senate have made a motion to adjourn until the next legislative day. To adjourn sine die means to adjourn without setting a day to reconvene. It's the end of the end, the grand finale of any legislative session. All work ceases, legislators and staff head for home, and the Capitol goes into mothballs until the start of either a special session or the next regular session in 2027. It's also that point where all of the bills moving through the process stop where they are and remain frozen in time. Many stopped moving forward months ago, but could have been resurrected with enough votes. Some are on the threshold of passing, and many have been sent to the governor. When the final gavel falls, the bills that have not cleared both houses simply die. In speaking with former legislators, the word that keeps coming up to describe this session is the word bizarre. It began with the coup in the Senate, where 9 Republicans ceded enough votes to allow the Democrats to control the process. What began as a huge Republican Senate majority became, in effect, a Democrat majority with the Democrat minority leader in charge. The Democrats and the 9 moderate Republicans then blocked removal of the former Senate president, who was caught diverting state dollars to a close friend. Fast forward to the end of the session, where the 9 then gave the Democrat minority leader veto power over the makeup of the all-important conference committees. The Democrats, joined by the 9, also passed a bloated budget filled with liberal priorities and sent it to the House, where the latest bizarre event took place yesterday when 67 members of the House voted to accept the Democrat version of the budget. Historically, the House would reject the Senate amendments and a free conference committee would have been appointed to iron out the differences. This year, it appears the House will skip the conference committee and send the budget to the governor as is. The big tell is who voted for the bill in the end. Republicans control both houses by comfortable majorities, and normally the votes to pass the budget come from the majority party. In this case, every single Democrat, without exception, in both the House and the Senate, voted in favor of the bill. That has never happened before in the history of the state. With the final vote on the budget scheduled to take place this morning, we've reached the point in the session where the vote to adjourn sine die can take place at any moment. Most think it will happen today. If not, then tomorrow at the very latest. Like a herd of drowned cows, these legislators who have been away from their families for 4 months are ready to call it a day and stampede for home. We appreciate their hard work and the sacrifices they've made to make Montana a better place for all of its citizens. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. You know, we were talking about the legislature and the governor breaking out the veto pen to trim the fat off the budget. Well, what if you want to trim some fat as well? What if you want to save some spending? You know, that's one of the other things I love about Billings' last diet is not just the weight that you lose, the pounds that you shave off. You know, you maintain your muscle mass, but you burn all that fat. It's the money that you save over the long haul as well. I mean, think about how much you might spend on food, on eating too much, on you're driving down the road and you get hungry, so you go grab something, and then you're hungry again half an hour later. I'll tell you what, with Billings Last Diet, when you get that lifestyle change, not only will you lose the weight, but you're going to realize that you're going to save some money on drinking less and not eating so much. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
It's April 29th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is International Dance Day. It was created in 1982 and celebrated on the birthday of the creator of modern ballet, Jean-Georges Nivert, in 1727. Also on this day, an estimated 2 billion people around the world tuned in to watch a royal wedding in 2011. Great Britain's Prince William wed longtime girlfriend and commoner Kate Middleton in London. There were some 1,900 guests at Westminster Abbey, with another million lining the streets. In 1854, the first college for just African-American students is officially chartered. Ashman Institute was in southern Chester County, Pennsylvania. It went on to open in 1857. And passing away today in 1980, English screenwriter, director, and producer Alfred Hitchcock. Among his most well-known works, Rear Window, North by Northwest, and Psycho. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.